Thanks for joining Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisook Yee. Thanks for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. Busy day around here. As you heard at towards the end of John Williams' show, President Trump expected to commute ex-Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. I'm assuming, Steve Bertrand, that you will break in anytime you have more information and you need to get in the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Of course, our WGN Radio newsroom on top of everything. So we will be looking forward to hearing from them. Also, loved hearing from all the listeners during John Williams' show. And I know Anna Devlantes is going to continue that conversation and be taking your calls and texts as well. Here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, we're going to get down to business because there's a lot going on with the markets right now. We're going to check in with Steve Alexander. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
So I'm seeing a headline that's saying, based on this Apple news, Apple saying that it was unlikely to meet its sales guidance because of the coronavirus outbreak. Oil prices tumbled. I know you said they bounced back a bit. Global equity market slid.
Right.
Gold is up. What's going on? This one company has this much power.
Well, it's the biggest company in the United States and a huge company worldwide. So that's to be expected that when it stumbles a bit, if that is the case here, that it would have such a big impact. You know, we were joking during John Williams' show last hour about when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold, was the old saying. Well, China has become such a huge market that I suppose you could also say that when China sneezes, much of the rest of the world catches a cold. And, you know, even in this case, there actually is a, a sickness involved in it, the coronavirus. But Apple did warn that it is going to take a hit because of a drop in the Chinese demand. And also its production facilities have been closed because of that coronavirus. Apple, you know, it's not the first time Apple has issued a warning. Last year, shares of Apple fell 10% in one day after it warned that there was going to be a drop potentially because of Chinese demand, not related to any virus or anything, just the softer economy in China. Since then, though, the Apple shares have more than doubled, so Apple's just fine. This may be a little different, though, because it all depends on the virility of this virus and whether health officials and government officials get a handle on it. Investment company Raymond James said it believes that the worst is yet to come, and they compared the virus situation in China to the Chernobyl situation back in the 80s in the Soviet Union, where the Soviet response to the Chernobyl disaster was, well, let's call it lacking, I suppose, is really a very nice way to say that. They're suggesting the Chinese response to this virus has also been lacking. Raymond James says if this virus becomes the true global becomes a true global pandemic, the actions by the Chinese leadership will come under great fire, as they no doubt contributed to the spread. The real impact will likely take years to fully measure. That's one investment company's opinion, though.
So what's the one thing you're going to be looking out for this week?
This week? Well, continued. Well, you know, let's go back to last week when, even though this coronavirus was, the news was coming out and it looks bad and we had cruise ships or quarantine and yada, yada, still the markets rallied to record highs.
They sure did.
Yeah. We were closed yesterday because of the holiday, and perhaps a little bit of the weekend has given traders a chance to take a closer look at this. And as traders just don't like uncertainty, lots of uncertainty with this as we wait to see how this virus is going to shake out, if it's going to become really, really big worldwide, or if it's going to remain kind of, I guess, confined to China, which is bad enough for the economy. But we'll just have to wait and see.
So guessing anything can happen. Thank you so much to
the
great Steve Alexander. Looking forward to hearing from you later on in the show.
You bet. Bye, G.
G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. Here for you now is Jim Dawkey and Catherine Davis. They're both with Chicago Inno. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jean.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So you've got some breaking news, Catherine. What's going on?
Yeah. So just this morning, 1871, they're the large startup incubator here.
Thank you for explaining who they are.
Yeah. Over in the Merchandise Mart, co-founded by J.B. Pritzker, actually. They announced this morning that they are acquiring the Illinois Technology Association, which is a 15-year-old organization aimed at kind of supporting and growing Chicago's tech scene.
Wow. So this is big news. Why?
Well, this is now going to kind of create a one-stop shop for tech and startup resources for kind of budding entrepreneurs. So if you need to know where to go for events, where to go to search for funding, where to go to connect with people who can help you grow your business, this is the place to do that. So, you know, these two organizations were kind of tackling, you know, the tech community a little bit differently. 1871 really sort of focusing on that kind of one to two person early stage startup. The ITA kind of focusing on a little bit more of that like growth stage tech business, a little bit more established. And so now kind of as the two companies come together, this umbrella organization really creates a one-stop shop for all the tech info if you need, whether you're a, you know, a one-person startup or a scaling, fast-growing tech business.
It sounds like a perfect marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was talking to the CEO of 1871 this morning, and she was like, you know, we are organizations that complement each other. We're not competing. And so having all these resources and all of those staffers under the same roof really kind of makes things easier for Chicago's entrepreneurs.
So this is something I teased with John Williams at the end of his show. Serena Williams is going to be helping out a local Chicago startup.
That's right. So the Mom Project, they were founded a couple years ago now, but they've created an online platform to connect women to employers that are currently hiring. So their interest is kind of, you know, focused on women that have may have left the job market to start a family or for other personal reasons and now want to get back into it, because it can be really difficult once you've been out of the job market for a while to get back in and be considered for great roles, right? And they announced last week on Friday that Serena Williams is joining the startup as an advisor, because this is kind of an issue she holds dear to her heart as being a mother and a businesswoman and a professional athlete.
Oh, I think this cause is fantastic. So many of my friends who have taken the time to have the baby and then recover from having the baby and then take care of the baby for the first couple of years, if they're lucky enough to be able to do that, then have a really difficult time getting back into the market. They feel as though maybe they've missed out on accelerating their job growth and then just even being able to get a foot back in the door. So this is incredible.
Totally. I mean, and to have somebody of kind of the like celebrity caliber of Serena Williams, I mean, maybe like the greatest athlete currently right now in the U.S., like having that kind of caliber of person on your board really just like elevates your kind of visibility, right? So for the Mom Project, I mean, this is just a kind of check of credibility from, you know, one of the biggest celebrities really in the country right now.
Something I'm really excited about is gender neutral skincare. Because I find, and I'm sure a lot of you do as well, that if you have skin products, beauty products in the bathroom, your partner ends up using it anyway. So it's better just for it to be gender neutral.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Romer is a new Chicago startup that's making what they call gender neutral and sustainable skincare. So far they just have three products. They have a cleanser, a moisturizer, and kind of an overnight treatment that's is infused with CBD. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everyone's obsessed with CBD.
Yes, CBD's and everything in your soda
right
water.
Exactly.
Yeah. Skincare.
Yeah. And so, you know, they just launched kind of trying to carve out a niche. I mean, you know, the skincare startup in Chicago is kind of rare. There's Orzin Alps, which was acquired last year by SC Johnson. But, you know, it's interesting to see kind of a consumer e-commerce cosmetic startup in Chicago because it's rare.
Fantastic. Okay. So I'm assuming that this is, it's going to have broad appeal.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, pretty much almost the entirety of the skincare industry is generated for women.
It
you know,
is.
Men have skin too.
Right. Yeah. And men, I mean, one, there's a lot of metrosexuals out there. There's a lot of men that really are into skincare. And then, of course, you know, it runs the gamut.
Totally. I mean, just protecting your skin, whether it's, you know, from the sun or from, you know, other weather conditions, or just generally as you get older, wanting to have better skin as you age. I mean, I think that men are increasingly thinking about their skincare regimen. And I think that startups like this, where they start to target that part of the demographic, are going to be, you know, a really interesting kind of area of growth for the skincare industry.
So senior editor Jim Dalkey, what kind of skincare do you use? Every day? Do you moisturize?
You know,
sunscreen?
I have used Orzin Alps a little bit, but I cannot say that I do it properly. probably regularly enough. But hey, a product like this is not a bad idea.
Well, I think this is perfect. It doesn't matter who you are. This is a perfect product for you. Okay, so what do we have as well? We've got, there is a new South Loop innovation project as well.
That's right. So this was major news last week, but the 78, you've probably heard of this. It's that big real estate development project in the South Loop. And Governor J.B. Pritzker announced that he's releasing $500 million in state capital to fund a research and innovation hub called the Discovery Partners Institute that's associated with U of I. So the idea is that they are going to bring, you know, about 2,000 students there every year to work on cutting-edge research and innovation projects with local academics, you know, business partners, tech entrepreneurs, et cetera.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, and then what else do we have?
Yeah, so some other news that hit last week was about Talk, which is a venture-backed restaurant reservation startup from the Alinea co-owner Nick Kokonis. Basically, their app allows you to make reservations if you put down a deposit to hold that table. And so generally, the restaurants on this are, you know, fine dining, think Alinea style. That's kind of what it was founded on. And they announced some features last week to personalize that experience a little bit more.
Talk was really revolutionary, and I remember when Nick first started it, it wasn't something people were like, huh, really, is this going to work? And then sort of a lot of people have adopted it, not just restaurants.
Well, here's the problem. So OpenTable came out a long time ago. So this sort of online ordering, online ticketing for, you know, getting into a restaurant has been around for a while. But the problem with OpenTable that a lot of these restaurants were finding, and Alinea was finding it singing as well, is that they were getting a ton of no-shows. And people were, you know, getting all kinds of OpenTable reservations and then just either not showing up or not telling the restaurant in advance that they won't be there. And so this is a huge, huge problem for the restaurant industry. And so what Talk was able to do is, you know, have patrons, have diners put a little skin in the game. Say, here's a, you know, here's a down payment, essentially, which will go towards my final bill. But it's really, you know, requiring you to show up or to, you know, make alternative arrangements with the establishment if you can't show up. So this is really kind of changing the game in terms of no-shows for restaurants, helping them get more people in the door and turn over more tables.
Well, this was a story that was mentioned in Steve Bertrand's news reports last week about the Chicago-born startup Romp Him, which became viral. It shut down. I know you're really sad.
We covered the Romp Him launch in 2017, and I will tell you, it was unlike really any launch we've seen of a kind of consumer apparel product in the 6 years we've been in Chicago. And I mean, the internet was in love with this idea, this rompers for men kind of product. It took off on Kickstarter, raised over $350,000. People were in love with the Romp Him. It was even mocked on Saturday Night Live during a Weekend Update bit by Colin Jost. So, like, you know, this was extremely, like, in the zeitgeist, you know? I mean, people were very aware of this kind of Chicago-made product for entrepreneurs at Northwestern University. And yeah, so just last week, sad to say, the company is closing its doors. So no more Romp Him for the time being, but curious to kind of see where that sort of founding team goes from here.
Well, I think this was really wonderful because you could... It was viral, but then it was also viral because guys would wear the Romp Him, and then post photos of themselves on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the marketing that I saw for this startup was honestly really remarkable. I mean, it was well executed, entertaining. I mean, it made you want to buy a Romp Him either for yourself or for a man in your life. So, you know. Kudos to them.
Catherine, did you end up buying one at all for the man in your life?
I did not, but I actually know a man who did.
Oh, so fantastic. I love it.
People like this.
Well, I think it's going to be sorely missed.
I think, you know, right when these guys kind of came out in 2017, you know, Cam Newton was spotted, you know, mm-hmm. for the Panthers wearing a full, I don't know if it was a Romp Him specifically, but it was basically the same idea, like this sort of romper for men. And so, you know, fashion is one of those weird industries, right, where the trends certainly kind of ebb and flow. And I don't know how impactful the Romp Him is today. Clearly the demand went down a little bit, but either way, sad to see those guys go.
That's Jim Dalkey, senior editor at Chicago Inno, joined with Catherine Davis, associate editor at Chicago Inno. Thanks so much, guys. And the website?
ChicagoInno.com, and there you can sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, G.
G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've been hearing a lot in the news about the Lake Michigan shoreline and how the lake level, the water there is rising as well. I have a two interesting folks in studio with me today, Nathan Kipnis and Bob Hursthaus. They're core members of Next House Alliance, and what I just talked about was part of the inspiration as to why they created this alliance. So can you explain what the alliance is, Nathan?
Yes. So I was in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program.
Wow.
And it gave me some space to think about setting up something like this. And so we wanted to do something for sustainability and for resilient design, which I'll explain in a minute.
And you're an architect?
Yes, I am an architect. And I think one of the problems when you do a house is you put together a team, and you don't know what that team is going to be like. So we have a team that's all assembled, that's all focused on sustainability, resilient design, and really great homes.
And Bob, tell me about your role in the Alliance.
Yeah, well, I'm the landscape architect. We're the landscape architecture and contracting firm. So, you know, we kind of start on the outside and work our way from the great footprint of the house out to the property lines.
So, I mean, you really have a lot of different members. Like, can you talk a little bit about the team and how the different disciplines and areas of expertise that are coming together?
Yeah, so we have Janet McCann from her firm. She's an interior designer. Larry Berlant Builders, is the general contractor. And we've got Joe Barrett from Barrett's Technology Solutions. So that's the technology integration. So that's the main parts you need for the house, along with the architect and landscape architect.
And you guys are building residential homes that are ensuring that there's less of a carbon footprint.
Correct. Correct. So that's a really big thing. And one of the key things we're doing for that is to make the homes all electric. And so that way we don't have fossil fuels coming into the home. We're using the grid. Every day the grid is getting greener and more efficient, and that's really a key part of it.
So I'm guessing these are really nice residential homes.
They are excellent homes. Our tagline is high design, low carbon.
And that's the green aspect, but there's also a sustainability aspect that might be a little bit different, like in terms of resiliency. What do you mean by resiliency?
Yeah, resiliency is a newer term. It's the ability of a building or a community, but in this case a building, to handle natural or man-made disasters and recover quickly. So every night on TV, there seems to be flooding and fires and hurricanes and whatever. And so we're designing these houses to be able to handle that. So at night, you go to bed and you have peace of mind about your setup that you have.
So I'm guessing these are really sturdy build-outs. And you're also having to translate that into the exterior of the home, into the landscape.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
how do you make sure that, you know, your landscaping can withstand natural disasters?
Yeah, well, that's a big challenge because our weather patterns have changed so much. Just look at the weather we experienced in the last year. Every month has been new records almost. So really we look at a lot of things in the landscape. We take a look at rainwater harvesting. How do we manage big influxes of water? Our rain events tend to be much larger now than they have been historically. We take a look at using native plant material, plants whose roots will penetrate even deeper into our native soils here, help to infiltrate water back into the ground. And on top of that, we try to create really fabulous places for people to go outside and live life, right?
So these are gorgeous places with all of this thought behind it.
Yeah, I think it's important to have a house that can do all this and the property as well. You know, when you think about resale and you know things are changing, it's crazy not to make it handle what's coming. And so that's one of the big points.
And of course, if you're thinking about building a house or renovating a house that's on the shoreline, that these you have to think about this even more.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, look at the lake levels, how much they've changed in the last decade, right? And, you know, they don't seem to be going back down. So that's a big issue.
So if you can't necessarily afford one of these tech forward, innovation forward homes that you guys are building, what are some ways that people can maybe be a little bit more sustainable and resilient in their home?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good things you can do. And I would say one of the key things is to think about making the perimeter of the house tighter and more efficient. So that's really good windows, really good insulation. And if you do that, then when you go to replace your furnace, you can get a smaller furnace that costs less. And then think about a smart thermostat to control that. So those four things as a system can really help you. And there also, I should just point out, ComEd's got a really nice program for homes that are going all electric for new construction. I know they have lots of other ones, but it's a $2,000 program to do the electrical and then water efficiency and some other things like that.
Well, very cool alliance. It sounds like it's one of the first of its kind here in Chicago, right, Bob?
Very much so. Yeah, we're certainly cutting edge, and it's a group that has been assembled at work really, really well together.
Well, we love it that you're here local and that you're thinking about sustainability and also about resiliency, something I hadn't thought about in new home construction.
Well, you need to.
Yeah. And where can we find more info?
It would be at kipnisarch.com is the website. And there's a link to the Next House Alliance from there. That's where you can get in touch with us.
Well, fantastic. And the best part of your job, Bob?
Oh, working outside.
You're really down to earth.
Very much so. Very much so.
Is there one plant that you would recommend to me that I can't kill?
One plant to recommend you? Yeah. plant a native plant. Let's plant a bur oak.
Okay, bur oak.
A bur oak.
Okay,
yeah.
And how long will it take that to grow?
It'll take a long time.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
But it'll be there a long time.
Well, fantastic. Well, thanks so much to Bob Hursthaus and also Nathan Kipnis, both with Next House Alliance. Thanks so much for being in studio with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio, including we've got business trending news with Amy Guth. G here with a Winterest Business Lunch. Amy Guth. WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth is in studio. How are you? It's been a busy day here in the WGN Radio offices, studios. Yep.
It has been a busy day. There you go. Microphones
fantastic.
And everything.
Yes.
I feel like there's so much news. It's one of those days. And we knew that was coming because yesterday I was like, it's so quiet. I think I even said that to you when I walked in the studio.
You sure did. And you got your
wish.
It's
my fault.
Absolutely.
Good times. All right. Well, you know, a couple things that I'm watching today. This is totally unrelated to a lot of the breaking news, but here's some kind of interesting tech things that might be kind of flying under the radar today because of so many other breaking stories. One of them is that Facebook has pretty quietly just launched an app that looks a lot like Pinterest. It's called Hobby. And the goal of it is to document the creative process, to kind of review your progress. So it's kind of an accountability tool to keep you going creatively when you're working on a creative process, and to share accomplishments that you're making creative. So it's aimed at crafters. It's somewhere, I think, probably going to find a home with Pinterest users, somewhere between like Pinterest users and Etsy users, right? It's going to be somewhere in there. But it looks a lot like Pinterest. And again, it's called Hobby, and it's just very, very quietly was launched. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what that does. Immediately, I think a lot of digital marketers are like, okay, what's the business application? How can we make money off this? What can we do? So it'll be interesting to see how that part of it shakes out. Unknown, because it's brand new and it's a fresh thing.
I feel as though they're really trying to get back Facebook to the root of what they were all about when they started. If you think about the Super Bowl commercial, which was all about their Facebook group.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly like pushing that narrative, right?
Right, because I think they've gotten so much bad press at this point.
Oh, I don't think. I know. They definitely have.
Yeah, so at this point, you know, I think they're saying, hey, like, let's get back to the root of what we do, which is connecting people and making sure that they can share their interests and connecting.
You're
folks.
A much better person than I am. See, I think, I'm like, that's a marketing ploy.
Yeah,
and they want
to look what they're
good
trying to do.
Because they're facing so much scrutiny. But yeah, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Great. You know, I think that's interesting. Kind of related to that very thing, right? Because so many tech giants are under so much scrutiny and much of it warranted. Elon Musk was responding to an MIT tech report about artificial intelligence and really kind of took this mea culpa sort of fell in his sword kind of thing of like, you know what? I sat on the sidelines and I kind of let some things happen I shouldn't have. And really, AI should be highly regulated. So I don't feel like we get that kind of vibe from a lot of leaders in the tech space. They're like, please regulate this silly. Let's go. Let's do that. It's really just like, let's explore. Let's create. Let's move fast and break things. That's kind of that's a Facebook motto from way back. So here's Elon Musk saying, no, this should definitely be regulated. And if you want to look up this MIT tech report on AI, it's really interesting. If that's something in your wheelhouse and something you want to kind of dig into, it's interesting stuff to just kind of like poke through and see what the report findings and recommendations are.
This is completely unrelated to the AI report you were just talking about, but it does involve Elon Musk, which I think is always great for business discussion and fodder. In a tweet this morning, Musk dissed Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder, of course, everybody knows. He mentioned in a recent interview, Gates did, that he bought an electric Porsche instead of a Tesla. And Elon Musk was very disappointed. And he tweeted out, my conversations with Gates have been underwhelming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lots of shade being thrown there.
So there we go. So Elon Musk is not happy about Bill Gates's electric car purchase. If only we had these problems, Amy Goof.
I know, right? If only our electric car makers were mad at us. Who is your, I mean, you're active on social media as well as I am. Do you have a favorite celebrity follow? Particularly, what I'm asking for is there a celebrity that kind of when they throw shade at other celebrities that you just kind of can't? It's like it's become a guilty pleasure. It's kind of funny to watch celebrities fight, I think.
Well, you must have a favorite then if you're asking me. I've been a little bit detoxing off of social recently, but I do follow a lot. I do follow a lot of celebrities on social, though. I really do.
You'll live longer with some good boundaries around social, and I think and talk about that topic often. I think J.K. Rowling is pretty darn funny.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I respect her work as I read all the Harry Potter books, of course, but I think she's pretty funny and she's quite fearless, I think. She will confront things pretty boldly. I've also noticed, and I don't know, is it that they're more on my radar or what, but also Stephen King, in addition to Stephen King, though, mm-hmm. most of the cast of Star Trek Next Generation on Twitter is really hilarious and quite vocal about things that they don't like. And I just think, what a strange thing. They must have all bonded and kind of take
Star
strength
Trek
from each
Next
other.
Next Generation, you mean from like our era when we were what?
The like, Picard era.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, that's fascinating. Wait. I didn't even know that. But recently, a friend of mine told me that she's rewatching all of Star Trek Next Generation. Anyway, just a random aside. It's gotten popular again.
People yes. tweet about it. I did that a couple of years ago. I rewatched because it's all on like Amazon Video.
Yes, that's what she was
and
saying.
And it's really good. Some of it doesn't hold up as well, but most of it does. Most of it holds up wonderfully. We've now gone to like 90s TV.
I know. Yes. Well,
that's fine.
Here's something else. Speaking of billionaires, I was just talking about Elon Musk and Bill Gates, and I just find shade thrown between billionaires particularly fascinating, especially in the tech world and innovation world. But Jeff Bezos is actually going to donate how much money?
$10 billion. So he's committed to. He announced this earlier Monday. He said that he has created a new fund to back scientists, activists, and organizations working to mitigate the impact of climate change. Committing $10 billion. He announced that on via an Instagram post.
I am fascinated by this because if you think about, I think about my Amazon box orders. I don't know about you. I don't know how your orders arrive at your door, but for a while, my entire order of 25 items would come individually packed via cardboard box.
25 things comes in 38 boxes. I know.
Right. Yeah. So I thought, oh, well, Jeff, we could start there, I think.
Yeah, but maybe a little less cardboard. I know. The thing is, I think it's worse when you order one thing and it's a giant box. You're like, wait, what did I order? I thought I just, got a lipstick and you open it, it's like a box the size of a mini fridge and you're like, and it's packed with, cushions and all kind of stuff.
It was just a thought I had. I don't know what you think about it. So I know a lot of folks got proposed to this past Valentine's Day, and I was reading an article about tax breaks that people maybe aren't thinking about that'll help them cope with wedding costs. And I never even knew this. People, of course, are going to be stressed out planning the wedding. Weddings are costly. Did you know?
If they choose to be. If they choose
True,
to be stressed out.
You can go and elope.
You can say, I'm not going to get stressed out about this.
Oh,
I'm just
going
to do this. And I refuse to buy into the narrative that it has to be. You know what?
That's pretty rare, I think. I don't know that many.
I think if you're an actual adult and not like
Whoa,
a child.
That's shade. Amy Goof just threw some shade.
No, I'm serious. Because I think it is entirely a marketing ploy that says you're supposed to be stressed out and you're supposed to do all the things. And even people in that realm, like I've witnessed so many friends get like guilted into, no, but don't you want this dress?
Right.
They're like, no, I want this really cheap one. I think you can decide like it can be okay and drama free.
So on average, couples expect to pay $16,000 for their wedding. And I'm bringing this up because it was Valentine's Day last Friday. A lot of people got engaged, but end up spending roughly almost double that, $29,000. So they plan on spending $16,000, but then it ends up being $29,000. But there are some wedding costs that can be tax deductible, and these are tax deductible costs that I had never really even thought about. For example, if you don't plan to keep your wedding dress, so if your daughter or you have somebody in your family, a grandchild getting married, if they don't plan on keeping their wedding dress, you can donate it along with the bridesmaid dresses to a nonprofit organization. There's a lot of them. And then you can consider that a tax deduction because it's to a charitable contribution.
There's one organization called, I think, Brides Against Breast Cancer. They will send you like a pre-printed label and make it really easy, and you get that tax write-off for your dress.
And that can also apply for also leftover food, something that people don't think about, donating leftovers from the wedding dinner or the rehearsal dinner to a local shelter that needs food donations, which can also help you get a tax break. Also, the flowers you can donate to a shelter or a nonprofit organization. You just have to make sure that your donations are being made to an IRS-recognized charitable organization to qualify.
Wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah, you never would think about that. So that's like three things right there. Your gown, leftover food, flowers. Also, for your gift registry, if you want to get creative, you can also extend a tax benefit to your guests by putting a charity on your gift registry as well. So that's also something. They can create a charity registry where guests can donate to the charity on behalf of the couple as a wedding gift. And these donations would be tax deductible on the guest tax return. So that's also fantastic. And if you pay a fee to secure a church or other venue on your wedding day, that fee might also be tax deductible as a donation if you're having the ceremony or reception at a state or national park, a historical garden, or a museum. Well, something you've probably never thought about, something I had never heard about.
I kind of knew that one because I know someone that got married at the zoo.
Oh, well, and fantastic.
So it was, I knew part of their wedding was deductible.
Well, I know, allegedly. Amy, you and I are not engaged, but just in case you're listening and you are, I hope that helps. Thanks so much to WGN Radio's Amy Guth. That was our trending business news. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.